KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Hey, I know yesterday on the show a couple of times I mentioned the gathering over on the west side. We're going to review that here real quick with Clay Schroff. Before we do, as I've mentioned before, just, you know, one of those public events that we want to let you know about, and one is coming up this weekend. This is quite the event. It's the New Mexico Human Trafficking Experience. It's free. Registration is required. It's an immersive guided experience. You'll step into the fictional story of a young trafficking victim whose journey is based on real life experiences. It's put together by New Mexico Dream Center, and they're doing the experience three times tomorrow, 4 p.m., 6 p.m., and 8 p.m. Now, here's it's an address, so you may want to go contact New Mexico Dream Center on their events page to get details, but it's 219 Central Avenue Northwest, Suite 100. It's someone who's generous enough to provide the space for the experience. 16 and over is recommended due to the sensitive topic, and it's going to be very educational to build an informed and compassionate community, providing information, and you can find registration opportunities for the 4, 6, or 8 p.m. experience with the New Mexico Dream Center at nmdreamcenter.org/events. If you have an event you want to let others know about, send the details to studio@klyt.fm, or just go to the website at klyt.fm, and on the homepage or the events page, you'll find a place to submit your event. All right, Clay Schroff, one of the pastor overseeing the Indigenous outreach at Calvary Church Albuquerque. Clay, the gathering is in the rearview mirror for 2026.
You know, it's our second year.
Yep.
And we had Reverend Will Graham come out and was our key speaker.
That's Franklin's son.
Franklin's son.
Billy's grandson. Yeah.
Yeah, what a privilege it was to be in the green room talking with him. And then, of course, he gave, you know, one thing the Grahams can do is they can definitely give a clear gospel message of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's I know, like with Franklin, you're like, hey, Franklin, what's your favorite hot dog dropping, you know, topping? And it's like, well, and he'll go right into the gospel. You know, he doesn't waste any time, man. I'm sure Will is a chip off the old block.
It was so good. You know, we had 10 people that gave their life to the Lord, and those are people who actually got with our decision team, gave them all their information.
Yeah.
So who knows beyond that? We had 4 baptisms, and there was a time at the end that we also told people to come up for prayer or for counseling, and over 30 people, they just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And then we had what we call our circles. You have the men go off in an area, and the women stay in an area, and we talk about real topics, what's affecting you today. And I heard back from one of the ladies that it got so deep, so dark, so fast, that what a needed thing that we were able to shine the light of Christ on the darkness that some are suffering.
Yeah, and what some may not have put together here, you know, the powwow of the nations is happening this weekend in Albuquerque, I guess for the last time, at least in Albuquerque, if not the last time, period.
I can't ever see that. It's a multi-million-dollar function. We'll
but
see what happens.
Regardless, you know, this is something you put together last year. This was the second year we did the gathering at the Calvary West Side, and it was an opportunity with all these people coming in town to bring Native community to an opportunity to join in praise and worship and focus on Christ and hear the good news from Will. So, Clay, thanks to you and the team, and I know, I don't need to say, you've put together a team. You built a machine that is running, and the people that
I can't keep up with them. They're going. Yeah. In fact, right now they are at the powwow.
Yeah,
and they're praying for people right now. They're giving out gospel tracts. They're giving out Bibles.
Yep.
So anywhere where there's darkness, that team's willing to run to. So thank you to our ambassador team.
Amen. Amen. Well, Clay's in here typically every Friday with us giving an update from Love NM, and we will continue that. Clay, for those that are hearing this and going, Indigenous ministry, outreach to natives in our community, I want to be part of that. How would you encourage them to reach out?
You know, for you can always go to the lovenm.org website, and we're updating that as we speak.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. Otherwise, call the church here.
Yeah. 505-344-0880. Ask for Pastor Clay. You can also email clay.schroff.
clay.schroff@calvaryabq.org. And listen, if you're a church that wants to get involved, and you want to start your own, we'll help you do that.
Yeah, and Schroff is S-C-H-R-O-F-F, clay.schroff@calvaryabq.org. Clay, thanks to you and your team, and have a great weekend.
Thank you. Keep them in prayer.
Which, by the way, this weekend, Calvary Church.
Oh, you know what? So Will Graham not only spoke at the gathering, but he's speaking at all of our services.
Yeah, and Sarah Reeves, who's going to be performing for Sheology on Tuesday's event, is going to be here over the weekend. It's going to be a fantastic weekend at Calvary. Bring a friend out to hear the good news, right?
Bring a friend to, you know what? And it's like we're having our own gathering again.
Nice. All right. Well, Clay, thanks again.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, and we're going to press on. We got a full hour, pretty much, less the time we spend with Clay. But Brian Cochran is in studio. He's the president of John Moore Associates. JohnMoore.com is the website. And, Brian, thanks for taking the time again.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Hey, and actually, that mic droops. Feel free to shift over here to something that's not going to give you grief for a full hour. Last week, Brian and I spent some time talking about lifestyle creep. It was pretty well covered in 10 minutes. However, both of us saw the need and advantage really to dive into this topic more deeply. So we're gonna do that for this next hour. And basically what we're talking about, Brian, we talked about it last week, income grows. I mean, I'm certainly, I was making $3.35 an hour when I started back in the 80s. And trust me, I've grown into my income. I probably didn't plan as well as I should as things progressed and my paycheck went up between then and now. But there's some real insight we find from scripture we'll talk about throughout the hour. But Brian, when we have that increase in income, what should we experience?
Well, gratitude first.
Yeah.
We always feel like we earn everything that we get, right? That's the human instinct. It's all about me. It's all about my money, and my efforts result in more money for me. But really, it's all belongs to God, and it's a blessing when we receive income, and then we receive an increase in income. But as you said, often what comes with that is this lifestyle creep, which think of that as sort of the subtle, unintentional increase in your lifestyle expenses.
Yeah.
And I think going back to basics, Steve, when we talk about when we have more income, well, where can it go? People say, well where would it go if not my lifestyle? We often talk about money in four buckets: live, give, owe, grow. So live is what we're talking about today. Lifestyle makes up the biggest allocation of most folks' spending or allocation of resources, and it's your mortgage or your rent, your transportation, your insurance, your travel for vacations, your food. So it tends for most couples to be 40 to 60% of their overall income goes right towards lifestyle. The give is the obvious part, giving to charity, giving to family. O is your debt and your taxes, the money you owe each paycheck or each year. And then grow is money you set aside for the future. So what we find, though, is for many folks, when their income steadily increases through raises and promotions and such, the only thing that might change is what's getting allocated to the live bucket. Now, we do have to give a little more to the taxes when our income goes up. That's not really voluntary. But the lifestyle creeps up over time.
Yeah, in spite of the fact that we should feel more free, have a little more breathing space. Often we create for ourselves an environment where there's just more carry more weight, more. We create all these expenses. I always wanted to. Well, okay, how about and we'll talk about this later in the hour, specifics about really some other things you could be doing with that money. That may line up more with scripture. Before we go to a break, Brian, any scripture related you want to share, you know, with this to open up?
Well, just the reality of what's in Luke 12:15 that says life does not consist in an abundance of possessions.
Yeah.
You know, we're not supposed to seek joy or life or satisfaction by having more stuff, which is a very anti-American.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Well, you see the bumper sticker, you know, he who dies with the most toys wins. It's like, so when you see that next, just think right away, lie.
Yep.
Lie.
And I think as we grow older, a lot of us learn that over time.
Yeah.
But it's actually just right there in scripture. We didn't have to learn that on our own. It's taught to us through God's way of human thriving. And I think maybe in some ways it's better learned over time by yourself as well, but it's definitely a truth, and not just because it's scripture, but because I think we've many of us have experienced that the more stuff we have, it doesn't necessarily equate to more joy.
Yeah, you've prepared a great outline for us. And actually, before we go to a break, I want to keep people through this hour. Could you tease on some of the areas we're gonna hit on? And before you do, I mean, I tried to apply something that, you know, when, here at work or home or whatever, you know, when a problem comes up, most often I try to apply, all right, what happened? You know, how did it happen? And how do we keep that from happening again? Or how do we do it again if it's a positive thing? But then, just kind of walking through some of this.
Yeah.
What do you have planned for us?
Well, I think the next segment we'll spend kind of diagnosing why does this happen in the first place? Like, okay, if we have more money, why is it that we naturally tend to just spend more rather than make wise decisions with it? The next segment we'll talk about, well, what would those wise decisions be? If I don't want to be wasteful and just spend more, what are my opportunities? And then we'll kind of close with just sort of more of a biblical perspective on why does God give us more? Why does he give us resources?
Yeah.
And what's a biblical perspective on that?
All right. Well, listen, of course, you can always go back and listen to the archive, but often if you take notes, even if you don't go back and read them, it's going to commit some of this better to memory and make it very applicable for you. So we're going to take a quick break and come back with more with Brian Cochran, president of John Moore Associates, johnmoore.com. And we will cover really kind of the how did it happen, what happened here, and take a closer look at heart issues and much more after the break on ABQ Connect. All right. Well, we try to put together a great show for you every day, and today's one of those days. Brian Cochran is in for the full hour. Often the last Friday of the month, Brian and I try to put this together where we really hammer down and focus on maybe a current issue or just a life issue you can always apply. And today, look at lifestyle creep. You know, as you press on in your employment and your checks get bigger, you know, what is it we're doing with that added income? And I should probably say added income that, you know, hopefully is above the cost of living. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and sometimes we don't even consider, you know, we think, oh, I got this much. No, you really didn't get as much as you thought. Mm-hmm. Regardless, that's kind of on another area of the issue. In this segment, we want to kind of look at, okay, we got to this point where we've had increases, but the books aren't really balancing like we wanted them to. What we would have hoped for, we don't have the great feeling we thought we'd have. What has happened? Why lifestyle creep happens in the first place, Brian? Let's jump into that and some of those human tendencies that you and I were talking about off the air.
Yeah, another way to frame that, I think, Steve, is we talked about live, give, owe, and grow as the four areas that money goes. Why does the money always go to live?
Yeah.
That's really the question, right? Why live? Why live? And again, lifestyle could be vehicles, home improvements, vacations. Those all fit in that category. And really, it's our just human nature for comforts.
Yeah.
We want things that are nice, you know, even if they cost more. And usually they do. The nice things are more expensive. You know, we want the pleasure of a nicer trip, a faster car, a more comfortable car, you know, a nicer couch in our living room, you know, remodeling our master bathroom, you know, whatever it is on your list. The challenge, though, what we all learn over time, I think, and why I see so much more contentment in the 70-year-olds I serve versus the 30-year-olds is we learn that those luxuries become just the new normal.
Yeah.
And I was telling you this, Steve, on the way in, you know, I have a very nice truck that I drive now and I'm grateful for it. It's probably worth 35 times more than the first truck I drove when I was 16 and I was getting around in my little Jeep four-speed, four-cylinder pickup truck. And do I feel that much more joy? Do I feel 35 times more joy driving this truck? No.
Well, and practically speaking, your Jeep got you here probably as fast or faster, or, you know, negligible difference in the practical point A to point B.
Exactly.
The pleasure of not needing to thumb a ride or walk or what have you, and times, you know, whatever.
My best friend or a girl could fit in the passenger seat next to me.
Yeah,
you know, like
right?
That's all I needed.
Yeah.
You know, so, but no, I think that was, so what happens there is then we want the next nice thing because, well, I have something nice, but there's still something nicer.
A little bit of keeping up with the Joneses too.
A little bit. So, but it's really that definition of enough.
Yeah. You know,
that's kind of the missing word in the, in the American dialogue is what's enough. And then the second piece, what you mentioned, is sort of, I might think I have enough until I find out there's something more I needed.
Yeah.
Through advertising or through seeing what your neighbor has.
Quote unquote needed.
Right.
Yeah. You know, something came to mind too, and I'm sure we're going to, you know, cover this throughout the day. We're focused on the live bucket, you know, on today's broadcast. And when I think of, you know, when we do what we should in areas of the give, owe, and grow, with give, tell me, we've talked about this, Brian, before too, as far, you know, when we'll have a full segment just on giving, but that joy and the feeling, you know, compared to the feeling you get for the me, I, when you give, think of those Christmas times when that anticipation to watch someone open a gift that you've given them, you know, there is joy there. And then, and in the owing, when you have things you need to get taken care of and that weight's released, you know, we don't think of those things when we're, you know, human nature draws us to that live bucket and the grow, just the confidence or the assurance. I hate to compare, you know, putting our money aside to our confident expectation in Christ.
Right.
But we know that we've prepared for the future. And man, that it's, I almost want to say that live monster just comes, jumps right out and, you know, hey, and it distracts us from all the other three buckets that can bring us probably more joy.
Yeah. And we'll talk in the next segment about paying off debt and saving and what those bring to us. But you're exactly right. It's sometimes it's the easiest thing to do. It's easier to spend than it is to save. It gives us the immediate gratification. You know, if saving is about having gratification later, it's delayed gratification, or paying off debt is paying for what you bought yesterday. But if I can buy something new today, then that's something more that I have today. And this speaks to, I think, the nature that, you know, that we have, this sinful human nature, to want more, to be discontent. And it speaks to, I think, Scripture talks about why it's hard for people with a lot of means, people who can buy lots of things, who people can afford to buy lots of stuff and then find content or find their purpose and their identity in those things. That's a direct conflict with the way we're taught in Scripture to believe, which is that, you know, we're supposed to love God first and you know, we're not supposed to put our love and our identity in things. And God cares more about our hearts than our balance sheet. So it's all a lot of tension there that we all face. And I'll be honest, the average American doesn't feel that tension because they don't have any message that contradicts the message that more will make you happy.
Yeah.
They're just chasing it endlessly, thinking that maybe the next nice thing will bring them joy. Thankfully, as believers, we have God's word that tells us, no, that's not where you're going to find joy. Let's find the real sense of peace, you know, through a love of Christ and loving our neighbor, these things that we're taught that are our priorities as believers.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Matthew 19:24 says, you know, again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. It's not because you can't be a believer and have money. It's that money creates a distinct competition in our hearts.
A very big distraction.
Exactly. Yeah. Distraction is a great word for it.
Yeah.
So I think that's what the root of this is, you know, to think about what we wanted to cover in the segment, Steve, which is why is this happening? Well, it's our nature. So we're fighting our nature for better, for nicer, for keeping up with our neighbors, for our covetous, sinful nature is driving us to buy more stuff rather than make better money decisions.
Brian, is there any part of this in the choosing first to fill my live bucket rather than the give or grow? You know, you think of someone, we've all seen it, and it's been me before, in the past. Not so much nowadays. I know when I was younger, that look in the mirror, how's my hair look, and you're not really doing that to impress you. You're making sure you're doing what society that we're living in here in America and, around the world. Hey, man, do I have the look? Am I attractive? Are people going to be drawn to me, me, me? Mm-hmm. Is that part of the, increasing how much you're putting into the live bucket?
Yeah, I think you want to impress somebody with what you have and have something to talk about. And I think some of that's going back to coveting your neighbor's things is...
It's vanity.
It's vanity. It's creating, it goes back to identity.
Yeah.
I'm creating an identity that says I'm the guy with the fast car. I'm the guy who posts the nice vacations on my Instagram. I'm the guy who has the big house, instead of saying I'm the guy who loves my neighbor and loves Christ. And and that's what people think about when they think about me.
Yeah. Well, it's easy. I mentioned balancing the checkbook, which is basically should be simple math. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with that, and we're dealing with emotion and things of that nature. It's really not so much math, is it?
No, this is heart. This is not, if it was just up to the math, we could all do the numbers and say, oh, I should save more, or oh, I should be paying off my debts. But it's these heart issues that break down. A lot of times when we have couples especially come in and work with us as financial planners in my firm, if their finances are not working properly, it's not an issue of the income. It's almost always an issue of what they do with what they're receiving, what they earn. And then you start breaking it down, and the underlying issue is a heart issue, not a math issue. These aren't stupid people. They're not ignorant. They're financially literate. But there's heart issues that drive bad money decisions. It could be broken relationships. It could be insecurities. It could be just general discontentment. There's a lot of ways that the heart issues can pop up. And if you can get to those and solve those, it's like a lot of things we deal with in our relationships and our behavioral health is, if you have a drinking problem, if you have a problem with your spouse, it's like there's something actually deep in your heart that's broken. And if you can fix that, address that, then you can move forward positively.
Yeah. Okay. Just a couple of those examples, having an addiction problem, sobriety is gained, typically not by the snap of a finger, but by practicing sobriety. Mm-hmm. you brought up how you treat your spouse, caring for someone that we go back to that natural me, 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 I, and it's natural to do that. We have to practice godly things like putting someone else above us. It's practice makes permanent. It is somewhat learned. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned contentment. I think clearly that's part of it too. I mean, we were all, you mentioned your Jeep. I bet when you first got your Jeep, when you're younger, man, I got a place. I don't need a skateboard anymore.
Yeah, that was enough at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Contentment.
I would never drive that now.
Yeah. careful what you say.
I would choose not to. Today.
All right. Well, so really the issue, it's more spiritual than financial. It's less about math, more about contentment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think we'll talk in the next segment, Steve, about, okay, well, if I'm not going to put all my raise or my inheritance or my bonus into the live bucket for increased lifestyle, what else do I do, and why are those decisions superior? I think that's the conflict we end up with.
All right. If you just tuned in, we're spending the full hour today with Brian Cochran. He's the president at John Moore Associates, johnmoore.com. And we'll get back to segment three, Responding Wisely. We'll get to that next on ABQ Connect. Hey, I probably haven't said it enough. You typically hear me talking about Tayshawn running the board. Thanks to Rochelle, Tayshawn's out. She has routinely, actually, over the last couple weeks, been sharpening her skills on the board and bringing us in and out of the breaks and just making us sound good, getting the studios all set up for us. So I want to thank Rochelle. It's the silent part of what we're doing here that you may not be aware of, and I want to make sure you know that this is a team putting this together for you. So thanks to Rochelle. Thanks to Brian Cochran for being in studio with us. Brian always brings solid content. And Brian, you're a man of God. You're going to bring that anyway. But I want to remind people, I mentioned when you were coming on the air today that you are a certified Kingdom Advisor. Remind people what that is.
Yeah, so Kingdom Advisors is a nationwide organization, actually international organization, that teaches financial professionals like myself how to apply biblical wisdom to the advice they give their clients. And the certified Kingdom Advisor designation is proof basically that we've gone through that training, that we've completed tests and proven our knowledge in that area. One thing I love about the designation is you actually have to have a standard industry designation first. So for example, I'm a certified financial planner, which is a standard secular designation, because they want to make sure you have that basic competency in your industry, and then you can pursue the CKA, the Kingdom Advisor designation. And it's a requirement for us in our firm, if you're going to lead clients in financial planning, you need to have both of those designations, CFP and CKA.
Brian, if we have other financial planners or CPAs or tax professionals, areas that can get certified Kingdom Advisors, and they're running their own shop, can they just reach out through the FaithFi website or?
Yeah, so the easiest way to find someone who has a certification is go to kingdomadvisors.com, and there's an advisor search tab right there.
Yeah.
The FaithFi website also has it. And you mentioned it, there's estate planning professionals, tax professionals, and investment and financial planning professionals all might hold this designation.
But if you are a professional with that secular and you want to pursue
Yes. You can find more about becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor through the Kingdom Advisors website. It's an absolutely awesome curriculum. We had one of our team members just finish it, and they're always really grateful, especially when you compare it with designations, which are really important and can be very difficult to obtain as well. But if someone's a strong believer, they just get so much out of the CKA training, because they get to see how to apply their own faith and their convictions into their work, which is wonderful.
All right. So if you just tuned in, as I mentioned, Brian's the president at John Moore Associates, johnmoore.com, which often we mention the insights tab on the website. Brian, our close look at lifestyle creep, content that you'll find in the insights tab.
Yeah. If you go to johnmoore.com, look at the insights tab. You've got an article here on lifestyle creep. We had another recent one on perspective on taxes. So if you just finished up your taxes last week, hopefully, it was on time. There's a good literature there, really just about any topic you can think of related to money. We've probably written something on it.
So you can find, and that's no cost. Just go to johnmoore.com, click on insights, and get that information. And Brian, before we jump into the content for this segment, could you review quickly where we've been and where we're headed?
Yeah, so we've just acknowledged so far that often when our income grows, our lifestyle grows with it. And the term for that is lifestyle creep, or slowly over time, we spend more and more on lifestyle. And looking back after a decade or decades, we don't know how we got to the lifestyle we're at today. And we talked about why that happens. It's our sinful nature. We want comforts. We want identity through the things we buy. We want to keep up with our neighbors. So there's a lot of reasons that are usually heart reasons that drive us to spend on lifestyle. And so next, let's talk about, what should we do differently that might bring us more financial security, more joy, more opportunities for generosity? I think that's the key. And I want to preface before we dive into that, there's nothing wrong with spending some of your increase on yourself.
Yeah.
We don't think that if you're a physician, you should live like you're a, you know, like you're an intern or, you know, your whole life, you know, like you can increase your lifestyle over time, but it shouldn't be the only thing that increases over time. There's other ways to wisely allocate the money that you have as your wages grow.
Yeah. I mean, if you're led to wear burlap, you know, that's up to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's key. A lot of people think of like sort of judge people who have money and nice things, but God in scripture, Jesus never called everybody to give up all their resources. The only people he really challenged to live a poor lifestyle, if you will, or low income lifestyle were those who had already identified, you know, had built their identity around
money.
Yeah. And he said, well, you're clearly putting money ahead of your faith. So I'm going to challenge you that. Are you willing to give up the money? And sometimes they weren't. But so what we want to see is more of a balanced perspective where if we increase our lifestyle, it's because there's opportunities to do so, but not because we know that's going to bring us happiness or we think that it's going to, you know, make us a better person or, you know, those are not the right reasons to increase lifestyle expenses.
So Brian, lifestyle creep, and we've kind of looked at it as a problem. Is there something as our income increases, our resources increase that we can really turn into a positive?
Yeah. So you think back on the live, give, owe, grow concept. Those are the four buckets of money, live, give, owe, and grow. The key here is to balance those other three areas. So it's not all live. We have give, we have owe, we have grow. So really think of it as three options for where you can put money as your wealth or as your income increases. So let's talk about owe first. You know, so one thing you can do rather than increase your lifestyle is to reduce your debts. Now, why would you do that? Well, scripture is very clear. The borrower is slave to the lender. As we like to say, your debt presumes on the future. So reducing debt is a form of financial security because the less debt I have today, the more freedom I'm presenting to myself later. Because if I take a new debt today, I'm assuming I will have the income to pay that debt tomorrow. And we've seen people go on the mission field and make lifestyle choices that they could not have made if they had debt. They needed that financial freedom that being debt-free or having reduced debt provides to move forward into other opportunities. So rather than increasing your lifestyle, consider maybe increasing the payments on your mortgage or your car loan by a little bit every month so that those debts will be reduced more quickly. Or maybe you're someone who's living with a regular use of credit cards. So rather than increasing your lifestyle and continuing to use credit cards, maybe balancing your budget in a more wise fashion so you don't need to rely on consumer debt.
Yeah, I think the need is a strong word there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know in talking with you, you're not completely against using credit cards. There's ways to use credit cards to be financially responsible, actually. And that's a whole, kind of a whole another topic. If you didn't have it, could you, you know, with what you're bringing in, get through? I mean, just make it simple. Can you get through the 2 weeks or the month without what you live on without having to use a credit card to meet your needs? If you are, then you really need to hunker down. There's work to be done to get to a place where that is not the case. And Brian, you got, I mean, as you head into these things, as you head into balancing the buckets, it needs to be intentional.
Yeah. So you've got reducing debt could be one opportunity, saving more.
Yeah.
So that could be building your emergency reserve for the first time or rebuilding an emergency reserve that's been depleted. Could be saving for education goals, retirement, for the purchase of your next vehicle or a home. So it could be a short-term or a long-term savings goal, but rather than spending it all today, maybe save some for your future needs. Keeping in mind that your future needs are just as important as your present needs.
Yeah.
They're just not here yet.
Yeah, you know, if it makes you feel any better, you know, we're talking about the live, and you know, there's not, like you said, nothing wrong with a certain amount of money in the live bucket, and it is a me. The grow button is really for you as well. You just don't maybe feel it right now, but you know, if we could travel through time, you go meet yourself, you say, hey, I'm the guy who did this for you.
Yeah, it's a gift to your future self.
Yeah.
And I think your future self might be a pretty nice guy. Maybe he could use it. So saving, so you can pay down your debt, you can save more, or you can give more. And that should be the automatic.
Yeah.
We often say you increase your standard of giving before your standard of living.
Mm.
So if I get a $100 a month raise, okay, boy, I hope at least $10 of that increase is going right back into my giving.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not giving at the level I'd hope, maybe that out of a $100 raise, $20 or $30 or $40 is going towards giving first.
Well, we've heard, you know, stories, Brian, of philanthropic people that, you know, making, either they were, you know, either they were heirs that got, or they created an industry that they made a lot of money. And there are people, there's, you know, it's funny because the examples of these are much fewer. And when they are around, they are a story.
Mm-hmm.
But people who are loaded, quote unquote, but don't live as though they are. And their give bucket is huge.
Yeah. And I can tell you, serving a lot of those families that are the types of multimillionaires that you would never guess.
Yeah.
Boy, do they love giving.
Yeah.
They're not doing it for recognition. Many of them don't allow their names to be put on any buildings. They're not looking for praise.
But they get joy.
But they've learned the joy of generosity that exceeds the joy of having stuff. I remember I met a gentleman in Arizona one time. He and his brother had started a pretty successful business. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars in value. And I love the way he said it. He said, I already had the big luxury car. He said, I had the $10 million house. He said, I don't own those things anymore. He says, I learned through experience that those things don't bring you joy. He says, I'm in the process of giving all of the value of my business away.
Mm-hmm.
So radical generosity, not because he was going to get recognition for it, but because he's following the call of, you know, scripture to be generous, but also he's learned that that's actually more satisfying to him. So the key when you have all this, Steve, so you think about, okay, so we talked about a little lifestyle's okay, paying off your debt, giving, like a lot of people get overwhelmed. Like, okay, so you're telling me do all this. I don't feel like I have enough money to do all of this. So it becomes about prioritizing. And you used the word earlier that we use a lot, which is intentional. What's the intentional allocation of your resources? And that's where, you know, building your own personal financial plan comes in. Because my intentional use of the next $100 increase is going to be different than yours, Steve. I might need to reduce debts while you're focused on savings, or maybe I'm already giving as I'd want to give, so I don't need to increase my giving as much as the guy next door to me who's not giving anything. And so he needs, you know, he's going to start being more generous. So, you know, building that plan that we often talk about here is so important so that you're not just drifting.
Yeah.
Otherwise, decisions are made based on emotion, and that's usually not the best guide.
It's a really great mindset to have. You know, maybe before you get that increase, as we talk about lifestyle creep, before you get it, have an intention to do the right thing. And that kind of goes along the lines of fail to plan to fail.
Mm-hmm.
So consider that. You know, and actually, before we close this segment, Brian, something's come to mind a couple of times. Can people? I'm not what a lot of people would think is a wealthy guy, but most of the planet would say I am.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, is there things we can learn from people who have much less than we do?
Well, I think just the perspective. I think when you acknowledge that some people have much less, you realize that what you have is enough.
Yeah.
So contentment sometimes requires us to step back and realize how blessed we are. That, you know, that's what Paul writes. He says, I learned to be content in all circumstances,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he's seen, and when he wrote that, he wasn't in great circumstances, but, you know, he knows that he should be grateful for everything God's provided him.
Yeah.
Just the air in your lungs, you know, is enough. So it requires that perspective. And that, Steve, is so hard. You mentioned kind of more of a global perspective,
yeah,
even a historical perspective. But if you look at the way we live today, if you actually step back just a little bit, I mean, here we live in Albuquerque, a city with plenty of economic challenges.
Yeah.
You don't have to step back to an international perspective. Just drive across 10 different zip codes in New Mexico and tell me you're not more grateful if you live a basic lower middle class lifestyle and you have your health. And your family,
yeah,
that's a lot.
Stuff that's making the headlines. You talked about driving across, you know, 10 different zip codes. You know, the price of gas is $3 to $5 a gallon. Okay, is that really, you know, is that a first world problem for you? You know, when you consider, and I will tell you, I mean, I'm not perfect at this, but I found and when you say it out loud, sometimes it kind of in the middle of your day can readjust your how you're looking at things. I recently had my license plate stolen, and I was at the MVD yesterday, and I was complaining about the crime in Albuquerque, mm-hmm. and I was complaining about, you know, all these different things. And then I was walking, I was realizing, you know, am I being an image bearer? Am I? And I turned around, you know what, I appreciate your guys' help. The truth is, this is a first world problem. I don't have to get up and walk 2 miles to get my water in the morning. Yep. And just to have that perspective. And I think sometimes it brings us back to, yeah, what do we, well, and then this word came up earlier too, need. What do we need? So keeping everything in perspective, appreciate your insight on what kind of mindset shift we really need to have prior to the lifestyle creeping, getting more income or wealth. So when it happens, no, I already planned. This is what I'm going to do.
Yep.
We're visiting today with the president of John Moore Associates, Brian Cochran. And we've got one more segment to get through. We're going to take a quick break and come back and finish it up after this on ABQ Connect.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
I hear Carlos's voice talking about Calvary Santa Fe. Listen, if you don't know Carlos, if you live in Santa Fe, you're looking for a place to go to church. Carlos has been part of that church community at Calvary Santa Fe for decades, and he loves that community. And I would encourage you, if you're looking for a place to worship, to take the time to stop by Calvary Church Albuquerque. You can find out about any of the campuses at calvarynm.church. But it brings my heart joy to hear Carlos personally inviting you to go check that out. Hey, we've got a few minutes left with Brian Cochran from John Moore Associates, johnmoore.com. And our topic today was lifestyle creep. Essentially, you know, we start, I mentioned earlier in the show, I probably showed my age, starting at 3:30. It was either 2.85 or 3:35 an hour. And, you know, I do make more than that now. But, you know, what happens between there then and now, and what we've done with the increases, and you know, often they're self-focused when they should be God-focused, and the buckets that Brian brought up, the live bucket, the give bucket, the O bucket, and the grow bucket, are we paying attention to all of them and being intentional in preparation for when we do get an increase? What are we going to do with those resources? In this segment, Brian, I know you wanted to touch on the biblical view of money or wealth or resources.
Yeah, and it's very different, I think, in some ways than certainly than our modern view or modern American view. And the best I've heard it said is that God uses money as a tool, a test, or a testimony.
Mm.
So as a tool, you know, that could be, you know, I got to buy groceries. You know, it's a tool for feeding my family, or I need to make my car payment. You know, it's my tool for transportation. It could be a test. It could be that God's giving you more to see what are your priorities.
Mm-hmm.
Do you trust me? Are you willing to give some of that? Or do you feel like you need all of it? You know, or where's your identity right now? We've often said that if you want to really understand someone's priorities, you can look at their bank statement
mm-hmm.
and their calendar, right? How do you allocate your time, and how do you allocate your money? How much is for you? How much is for others? How much is, you know, for your neighbors, given generously? And then the testimony is, you know, money can be given to you as a testament to the God who cares for you and provides for you. And then how are you going to respond to that? Kind of goes a little bit more to the test. So oftentimes, though, we think of money as just more for me. You know, more money means more opportunity for lifestyle. But we really think more money is more opportunity for wise stewardship. And you shouldn't beat yourself up if you haven't always crushed that. You know, you haven't always been on top of using your money as a wise steward, because people stumble here. It's okay. It's why we have God's grace. We don't have to be perfect all the time. But at what point will you earn enough that you realize, hey, I got to start acting like a responsible, wise steward, acknowledging that everything I'm managing actually belongs to God. And he has an opinion. He cares what I do with this. He doesn't need every dollar of your money to make his will known or to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. He can do it on his own. He's inviting you to be a wise steward, to balance the live, the give, the owe, the grow. And if we can sort of receive that invitation and respond appropriately, I think that's where we get, you know, joy, it's where we get satisfaction, and it's where we start to build an identity that's not about just more and more for me. It's about others, and it's about following God's prescription for human thriving.
Yeah, well, I hope, as I mentioned earlier, that everyone's taken the time. I've taken some notes. I know Rochelle, who's engineering the show, she's taken some notes. And Brian prepared a plethora of notes for us to get through the hour. He's also, with his team, prepared content that we mentioned already, available at insights.org on the web. Brian, hopefully something will come to mind. We didn't talk about this before coming on the air. But, you know, you've worked with a lot of people, and this isn't a new topic for you. And, you know, you've walked through the buckets with your clients for a long time. Whether it's a specific testimony, which you mentioned just now, God sometimes, you know, gives us wealth and money so a testimony can come from it. But can you testify specifically about how people who've taken that time to be intentional prior to seeing an increase in pay, increase in income or wealth, and they've biblically applied that, what's the result? What are you seeing?
Well, there's a little bit of a healthy sense of pride that comes from it.
Mm.
You know, being proud that you're following God's calling to be wise. You know, because you know when you do this intentionally, you feel confident that you're on the right track, that you're not, you don't question whether you've done something right or not. You know, if you spend a little bit on yourself, you're not wondering, well, was that too much to spend on myself? Am I neglecting some other area of my finances? Like, no, you can say with confidence, I did the right thing with this increase. So there's some pride, confidence, joy, especially when you're increasing on the generosity side.
Yeah.
And then a sense of peace or security that comes from good stewardship. Now, when I say security, I'm always a little hesitant to throw that word in here because I don't want us to seek security by having more in the bank. That's not where our security should come. But there is a sense of I'm being responsible and I know how I can address an emergency because I have a savings account. Or yeah. I'm being responsible so I know that if I can't work when I'm in my 60s because I can't physically or mentally continue on, that mm-hmm. I built financial independence through my retirement savings. That's a different level of security than saying I don't need God because I have enough.
Well, and the truth is, if you're following his word and applying his principles to your wealth and finances, and that security you're talking about, although, you know, I could hear you, even as you start to say it, look, our security isn't in our wealth and in our money. However, to have that sense of security and realize that really it's coming from the Lord because it's his insight that was applied to what you're doing, and he does make us secure in our salvation and so many other areas of our life, but really just going back, you know, the other thing I would suspect, whether or not people would even think to articulate it this way, but, you know, after being intentional and really making some corrections and seeing things get better financially or with, you know, resources, to be thankful in the same way, to think, Lord, this was your principles. Thank you, Lord, for the book that tells us how to do it, not just with our wealth and finances, but with every area of life.
And I think if your pride gets too far, it conflicts with that gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, that just...
I couldn't do this. Yeah. It's just because of you and me being obedient child to you. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. And I think even the pride could be more of just being grateful for the opportunity to be obedient in the next dollar, you know, in the next $100, the next $1,000 that you earn is, you know, thank you, Lord. I'm so glad that you've given me your word that guides me in what I should do with my resources. I'm so glad you've given me the people that surround me that help me make wise decisions. I'm so glad you've given me the opportunity to earn this income through my labor, through serving others. And you put all that together and it's a good feeling about money rather than having regret that you just spent more and more.
I love it. Brian, appreciate your time and look forward to having you back in again soon.
My pleasure.
All right. Hey, full hour with Brian archived at abqconnect.online. Have a great weekend. Join us Monday for ABQ Connect.